I do. I think the track that we're on, the trajectory, is a good one. I think starting with keeping the staff in place, keeping the management team in place, I think the stated goal this offseason is to start bringing in some free agents, re-sign some of our really quality young players that we have here. Obviously, everybody knows about the number of draft picks that we have. And so the path we're on is great. I think we've got the right head coach, and we've got the right management team. And so I think definitely things are looking up for the Cleveland Browns.
Joe, the last 9 years, maybe not your rookie year, but the last 9 years, obviously, you've been through a lot of really bad years from a team perspective. Mm-hmm. This year seemed different, even though the results were the worst that you've seen. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that the sense of hopelessness or despair or the fight that we even saw yesterday's game, why do you think that the negative feelings were absent but the fight was still there?
Well, I think if you look at how we finished the season, I think it was probably different than most of the other losing seasons that we've had. I think if you break it down, there was a nice progress and improvement as the season wore on. I think you saw more fight as the season ended this year than we have in years past. And going back to what I said before, I think we've got the right head coach in place, and we've got the right management team, and we've got a lot of young guys that are only going to improve. And so I think you put all those things together, and I think there's a good sense of excitement around the building.
Came out pretty strongly last week with what you said about Robert, but I mean, you really just seemed genuine and sincere about that, even though it was such a strong statement. So you really believe that what you said about he's a franchise level talent and see him being your guy?
Yeah, like I said, I'll qualify by saying I don't evaluate quarterbacks. I hardly know any of their routes, even. I can't read coverage, so I don't really know a whole lot about the position. I could evaluate an offensive lineman a lot better. But I will say when you watch him at practice and watch him in games, you definitely see some of those things that could make him a franchise quarterback. The arm strength, the mobility, the intelligence, the work ethic, those things are all there. And then it's for somebody else to decide if he's the quarterback of the future or not. And I'm glad it's not me.
What was the hardest part of this year?
Oh, the hardest part, I think probably in the middle of the season, 0-9, 0-10, there was probably a hopelessness at that point. I would say that was probably the hardest part, but I feel like the stick-to-itiveness of the locker room and of the coaching staff and the resiliency of kind of tightening the belt, everyone kind of grew a little bit closer down the stretch, and we only won one game down the stretch, but I think there was a sense of guys were playing better, playing more as a team. I saw young guys playing better than they had at the beginning of the season, and in spite of injuries to some of our key players, I feel like there was some fun that was being had down the road. I think if you watch that game yesterday, you saw a lot of guys out there having fun doing what they do and playing well. Because in the NFL, the fun is in the winning and is in playing well.
Were you surprised that you guys were able to sort of snap out of that hopeless feeling?
I wasn't overly surprised because I think that's the demeanor of the head coach, and I think the team a lot of times takes on the demeanor of the head coach, and so his perseverance, I think, really has rubbed off on us.
Do you think there was some uncertainty on the offensive line here going forward, except for left tackle?
Well, there might be some uncertainty, and I think that's normal going into any season. I think we've been spoiled a little bit here for so long. We haven't had uncertainty on the offensive line because it's been the same guys for the most part year in and year out, and this is kind of a new thing to be going through a lot of change at different positions, but I think we have a pretty good idea of who's going to be at what position going into next year once everyone gets back healthy.
Joe, when you look at a lot of your comrades hobbling around here, they're coming in boots and they're wheeling around on scooters and coming in on crutches. Yeah. When you see that, what is the outlook for the offensive line?
Yeah, well, I think it's really bright. I think we've got a lot of quality players to choose from. I'm sure we'll probably draft an offensive lineman in the draft. And once we get the guys that are hurt back healthy, I think we've got a really quality offensive line. I think if you look at some of the guys that got hurt, we lost really three starters on the offensive line fairly early in the year, with Austin Ryder, who came in and was the starter, getting hurt in his first game after playing really well in his first game. Obviously, Joel gets hurt, and then later in the season, John gets hurt. I mean, that's your inside three right there. So I think that's tough for any team to kind of replace.
Coming off 1-15, obviously the offseason is really important. Why do you trust the guys making the decisions to get all those moves right, the draft, free agency, those things?
Well, because I've had the good fortune of spending a lot of time with them, kind of picking their brain about their process and about their decision making. And I think after my 10 years in the NFL and the experiences that I've had, our ideas kind of align pretty closely with how to build a team and the most efficient, effective way to try to build a roster. And what is going to give you the best probability of having success in free agency in the draft? Because no matter who you are, you're not going to be 100% in the draft. So what you want to do is you want to set up your roster, or excuse me, set up your management team with the right process that gives you the best chance. Because in the draft, it's still a shake of the dice. But you just want to try to get the odds in your favor as much as you possibly can. And I think they're taking the right approach, and I really agree with a lot of what their thoughts are on how to build a team.
So is that a part of that approach then, re-signing your own free agents?
Yeah. One of our biggest mistakes that we've made since I've been here is not identifying talent early on in their career after you've drafted them and re-signing them before they get to free agency. And a big problem and a big reason that happened was because of the constant change in coaches and management. Once you get in here, if you're a first-year general manager and a first-year coach, the first thing you do is not going to be re-signing young guys, because you want to learn who they are, you want to learn more about them, you want to see how they fit into your offense and into your team before you re-sign them. And pretty soon, if you just keep changing coaches every year, all of a sudden those guys that you should have identified early on after you drafted them, now they're free agents and they don't want to stick around. I mean, we saw it with several guys just this past offseason. And so now having that stability at coach, at GM, president, whatever you want to call that position, that's so important, because now they can draft guys, identify who their draft picks are that were hits, and then re-sign them before they get to free agency. Because in the NFL free agency, once a guy gets to free agency, he could go anywhere, because all it takes is one team to really fall in love with somebody and throw a big number at them, and then they're gone. And then now all that effort and energy that you've put into developing a young man into a great NFL player is gone, and that draft capital you spent on him, it's a waste.
Do you regret losing most since you've been
here? Probably Alex Mack, and then Mitchell Schwartz.
Right.
And then I can keep going down the line, but those would be my top two, I'd say.
When you're having those team building talks, did you go in there like wanting to put your 2 cents in, or did they come to you?
No, I think even before Sashi was hired as the president, him and I have had a lot of good conversations about building a team and ideas, and then after he got the job, you know, I live here all the time, so I see him a lot. And so when you're a guy that loves football like I do and like Sashi does, you wind up talking football a lot when you're at lunch or just walking around the building and you see each other. And so I think those conversations were kind of just organic and natural.
Joe, when you watch Alex and Mitchell in the playoffs, with just feeling good for them, or is there a tinge of jealousy that
I don't think there's going to be any jealousy when I'm sitting on my couch drinking a beer or two and watching them work. But maybe after the game's over, I'd be a little jealous. But no, I'm really happy for them. I think both of them have first-round buys, if I'm not mistaken. So they're obviously in great position. Both those teams are well-positioned to have great runs in the playoffs, and I'm happy for them. I hope I get to watch them. Both of them in the Super Bowl. Yeah, they are in opposing conferences. I had to think about that for a second. But no, that's a good question. I don't know. I just root for a good game, like I always do in the Super Bowl. I just like seeing a good game.
Andrew, I'll ask you about one of your current offensive linemen, Cam Irving. Obviously, the spotlight's on because he's a first-round pick. He's bounced around these first 2 years in the league. Fans give him a lot of grief. Could you just talk about the 2 seasons that he's had here and what you see in him?
Yeah, I think he's made good progress. He's, you know, we've worked really hard with Cam. He's a guy that loves football. He works extremely hard. He has the right demeanor, and I think that will really serve him well in the NFL. I think we've seen a tremendous growth from him from the beginning of this season to where he finished the season. Obviously, he didn't finish the game yesterday because of injury, but I think he's shown some versatility, and I think we're still trying to figure out what his position is going to be going forward. But if you have a guy that loves football and that works hard at it every single day, you can find a place for him on your football team, because that's what you want to build your football team around, is guys that love football, want to work hard, and winning is important to them.
Now that the season's over, we know you have your routine for practice during the week, but you also appeared on the injury report a few times. Is there anything that...
Every week, almost, I think.
Is there anything that you need done after the season, or is there anything that would keep you out of the Pro Bowl?
I plan on playing in the Pro Bowl. I don't think, short of getting hit by a car when I'm walking across the street, would keep me out of the Pro Bowl. So I plan on playing... But, you know, we'll see. I think the offseason, you know, you never know what can happen in the offseason. But I'm always open and available to doing anything I can to help my body prepare for another NFL season.
You know, I think the perception with Alex Mack was that he wanted to get out of here and he was ready for something different. But the way that you're putting it, do you think that if they would have made more of an effort to keep him, he would have wanted to stay here?
You know, that's a hard question. That's probably something that Alex would do a better job of answering. But to me, it seemed like he just wanted a commitment to winning from everybody that was involved. And I don't know what type of an effort was made to re-sign him. I have no idea. Maybe they figured the feeling wasn't mutual there. I don't know. It's hard to speculate on something like that because Alex is one of my best friends, but he's still kind of secretive about some stuff. And so it's hard to know which way the wind blew on that stuff. But I do know that he got a great offer from Atlanta when he was a free agent. And I think out of all the things that maybe would have stung him would have been, like I mentioned before, not identifying a good young player and re-signing him before he gets free agency. I mean, he had to go to free agency basically twice. And I think... talking to him in maybe his fourth year or whatever, going his last season, he wanted to re-sign, and he was begging the team to negotiate with him, but they didn't want to for whatever reason, and I think that may have miffed him a little bit. And then so when he did finally get to free agency for the second time, he was kind of done with the dog and pony show. But that's just my own speculation. Whether that's the gospel truth, I'm not sure.
You got one prominent free agent to be on each side of the ball here. I feel it's important to keep one of them maybe listening, so you better be careful.
Yeah. Okay. You hear sometimes fans say, well, we were 1-15 with them, we can be 1-15 without them. But if you want to be better than 1-15, you have to keep your good players. That's just the way it goes. You can't keep getting rid of good players and think you're going to get better. I mean, anybody with a brain can figure that out. So if we want to improve the way we have to improve, we have to re-sign our good young players, add players in free agency, and continue to draft well. But the draft is not an immediate fix. The draft, it takes 3 years, in my opinion, before you can evaluate if a draft pick was a good draft pick and he has the ability to be a good NFL player. Because everybody matures at different speeds. Everybody improves at a different pace. But when you have a good young player, re-signing them is the best way to keep improving, because a player is going to improve, in my opinion, the most from like year 3 to year 7 is like kind of their sweet spot. And if you don't re-sign guys as their young players, you're never going to be able to see the sweet spot of their career.
When you were watching all those guys leave, did this almost feel like a farm team?
I never thought of it like that, but certainly you could think of it like that because you look at all of the quality players that we drafted in the last 8 years that left and went somewhere else. And you think about if, okay, let me step back. When those guys were younger players in their first, second, third year, you knew they were going to be good players. So if you would have re-signed them then, you would have been able to re-sign them at a discount, and you would have been able to keep all of them. And you can only imagine where we'd be right now if we had all of those guys that we drafted in the last 8 years. We'd be a darn good team. I mean, you can go down the line and list at least probably 15 guys that are good starters for other teams, and some of them are Pro Bowlers that we could have re-signed, but we just didn't for the different reasons, and we let them go to free agency, and then we let them go somewhere else.
Hey, Joe, last offseason, you guys had the second overall pick. Long before the trade, you were adamant about, hey, you know, this is our chance to go get the quarterback of the future, the Ben Roethlisberger type guy, and take us to the playoffs. Sitting with the first and the 12th overall picks, do you have that same kind of feeling?
You know, I haven't thought deeply about that yet. Certainly when you're drafting in the top 10, you have a chance to pick that franchise quarterback. Now, whether the guy's out there or not, I don't know. I'm not a quarterback evaluator. But I know the fear from presidents and general managers is picking a quarterback in the top 10 is probably the riskiest pick, because if you don't get a franchise quarterback, you get nothing. Whereas if you draft a defensive end or a receiver or, you know, a defensive tackle, they're going to be on the field and they're going to contribute in some manner. Because even if they're not a great player, they still might be a good starter for you. And you can put them on your team and it'll make your team better. But you can only play one quarterback. So if you don't get the franchise quarterback, you just wasted that pick, completely wasted. So it's a riskier draft pick, and that's why I think GMs and people that run the draft can sometimes be nervous about picking that quarterback unless they really feel full confidence in who that is, because you have the opportunity to get other really good players that there's a good likelihood that they could help the team, even if they don't turn out to be a Pro Bowl caliber player like you hope.